John 14, beginning with verse 1. Interesting passage of Scripture. Jesus is talking. And Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Must all trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way as the place where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The way, the truth, and the life. What does that mean? You know, in our culture, it has been considered to be bigotry to say that there is only one way to God, but Jesus said that. What is the evidence that that's true? How do we know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? You know, a lot of times when we have a passage like this, it's important to go to the original language to get an idea of what the actual intent was of what Jesus said. In this case, the way is from a Greek word, hodos, H-O-D-O-S. And what it means is a journey. A journey. I am the journey. It's how to live your life. How to live your life. There's a lot of us in this room tried to live our lives differently, didn't we? And we suffered the consequences of that. In Proverbs, the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 25, the writer says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is always the way of death." And then it goes on to describe all those things in the world that try to mislead us. All you got to do is turn on your television set, and you'll get a heavy indoctrination of other ways. Sometimes it's in a sitcom. Sometimes it's in some kind of a guru that has all the answers. But Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, "It is not within man that walks to direct his own steps." Why would we trust what any human says to us? Now, when I was in college, we were indoctrinated with all kinds of ways, situation ethics, existentialism, all kinds of other ways to live. And we were told that if you're a real intellectual, that you will choose one of these ways. And many times we were given all the positives about that. And many of us chose those ways. And if you're as old as I am, you saw where all those ways lead, where they take you. Not only has this been true in the secular world, but it's been true in the religious world. There have been all kinds of people who claimed to be God or claimed to be a spokesman for God. Moon, the guy that started the Moonies. Jim Jones. David Koresh. Who were these guys? Well, they were guys that said they had the answer. They were guys that said they had direct revelation from God. We have religious cronies. We have religious scams on every side. People who claim to be God, but where did those end up? What happened to those who followed Jim Jones? What happened to those who followed David Koresh? Some of those people spoke fluently. They seemed to have all the answers. And yet, as Proverbs said, the end of it is always death. Existentialism. that says every decision you make is to be something that promotes your own existence. Where does that take us? To death. Situation ethics, that every situation has its own moral code. Look at the situation, decide what your moral code is going to be. What's been the result of that? How many lives have been destroyed? Jesus says, I am the way. Let me ask you to do something sometime. If you question that, read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and ask yourself, what kind of a world would it be if every person on the planet followed what Jesus said? What kind of a world would it be if it said, if everybody lived by turn your other cheek? What kind of a world would it be if everybody went the second mile when somebody had a need? What kind of a world would it be if we were to do good to those who do bad things to us? David said in Psalms 86 and verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Because you see, the way also leads us to the question of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. The Greek word for truth here is aletheia. I have these in the bulletin if you're interested in looking these up. And what that refers to is facts to live by. Facts to live by. How to worship. How to know about marriage. How to know about sex. How to know about materialism. How to know about religion. Jeremiah, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 2, the writer says, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they are all adulterers. As assembly of treacherous men, they bend their tongues like bows for lies. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil. And they do not know me, says the Lord. Take you heed of your neighbor, and don't trust any brother. For every brother supplants, and every neighbor walks with standards, with slanderers, and they will deceive. You know, one of the things that I've learned in 80 years of life is don't trust humans. Don't trust humans. That includes me. Don't trust me. I'm just a human. I don't have all the answers. In 1 John chapter 5, beginning with verse 6, it tells us what we can trust. It is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. What can you trust? You can trust God's Word. You can trust the Bible. In Revelation 22 and verse 14, it says, blessed are they who do His commandments, that they have a right to the tree of life, and they enter through the gates into the city. And then it describes our world. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves a lie. You know, it's kind of interesting. I'm probably going to get in trouble for telling you this story, but you had Black Friday, right? Well, Black Friday is kind of a rough day. So my wife decided that instead of Black Friday, she would do late Thursday night. Well, I didn't know what that meant. So she took off after we ate. We had a dinner with Adele Durham, some of you know, and her family. She's in our Tuesday night, or our Tuesday afternoon meetings and Tuesday morning. And Cindy disappeared to go shopping with a very long shopping list. We didn't have such a long shopping list until Deacon showed up. But anyway. Okay. I'm a normal husband. I figure, okay, she'll shop for an hour or two and she'll be home. Maybe she'll even eat at Walmart. So I didn't worry too much. But 11 o'clock, she still wasn't there. At 12 o'clock, she still wasn't back. I finally called her at 12:45. Where in the world are you? Oh, I'm having a wonderful time. There's nobody in the store. I said, yeah, you probably got that right. Nobody but an idiot would be out at 1 o'clock in the morning shopping at Walmart. But I'm finding bargains. 2 o'clock, she's still not home. 2:30, she's still not home. I finally called her again. She's not only keeping me awake, but I'm worried. Why? She says, oh, there's lots of clerks and stuff in Walmart. You don't have to worry about me. I said, Cindy, you've got to go from the store to the car. And without our dogs and sorcerers. Can't you relate to that? Look where we live today. We live in a world where people are following all kinds of things that are totally contrary to God's will. And that makes it dangerous for the rest of us. So what'd she do? She got a clerk that weighed 320 pounds that had helped her lift stuff that she couldn't lift. And she got that person to walk her to the car. Well, I'm thankful she had that kind of security. But isn't that a commentary on our times? You know, it didn't used to be a woman had to worry about walking outside at night. But now, look where we are. For a time, you didn't have to worry about going to a show or going to a movie or going to an athletic event because those were secure places. And now we have to worry about bombs and terrorists. You see, the facts to live by are not available if you don't believe in God and in Jesus Christ. And what's happened in our world is that our society has worshipped the wrong thing. Romans said that was going to happen. In Romans 1, beginning with verse 25, it describes those who refuse to accept God. It says those people change truth into a lie and worship the creation more than the Creator. And our society worships things and ignores God. And here we go into the Christmas season. And what's the emphasis? Black Friday. I kind of thought that was a good label until I realized finally that the reason it's called Black Friday is because the store owners no longer have red ink in their books. They have black ink because they make their whole year's income in one day. So that's where Black Friday came from, the black ink. In 1 John, the second chapter, beginning with verse 21, the writer says, I have not written to you because you don't know the truth. You know, it's interesting that we know how to live our lives. We know what the standards are. We know what works. This passage goes on and says, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth, who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist and denies the Father and the Son. Denying Jesus is a lie. Denying that the Bible gives us a successful way to live is refusing to see the evidence that God has given us. And so John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus is the way, the journey. Jesus is the truth, the facts, the standards to live by. And then there's this interesting word, the life. The way, the truth, and the life. Now this word life is from the Hebrew, or from the Greek word zoe, Z-O-E. And it refers to motion or activity. It doesn't refer to breath. Breath comes from the word psuche in the Greek. So it's not talking about breathing and eating. It's talking about how to deal with life. What is your motion? What is your activity in dealing with illness? Dealing with death? Depression? How do you approach children? How do you deal with loneliness? How do you deal with politics? You know, you want to see a description of the life? Look at the qualifications for elders in 1 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 1. And ask yourself, without any connection to the role of an elder, how would you like to live in a world where everybody was this way? And I'm quoting now. Blameless? The husband of one wife? Vigilant? Sober? Of good report? Given to hospitality, willing and able to teach or to share, not given to drugs, never violent, never greedy, not obsessed with money, and not a breaker of covenants or agreements, patient, managing their affairs, their house well, and being of a good report of outsiders. Wow, that's the kind of person I want to be around. That's the kind of person I want to be my friend. That's the kind of person I want to influence my kids and my grandkids. And who is that? That's people who have the life. The life guided by Jesus Christ. And yes, it's a qualification for Timothy, the ability to spot a person who can be a leader in the church. But it's also a recipe for success in life. What a blessing to have the life. In Acts 2, beginning with verse 46, we have a description of the first century church. Have you ever thought about how these people function? What was the effect of becoming Christians? Well, one thing was they ate their meals with gladness and singleness of heart. We're going to have a potluck. As a matter of fact, I guess that's a week from today, isn't it? Going to have a potluck. Can you come and eat a meal with gladness and singleness of heart? You know, I was back here the other day when we had our last potluck, and I was just listening, and what was amazing to me is how much laughter I heard. People having a good time. People enjoying who they're with. People having a singleness of heart. What else was true of the first century church? Well, they had favor with all the people. You know, I love doing the float. I love doing the float because as you're going down the street and you're sitting on this hay wagon, first of all, they smile at this bald-headed old man sitting on a hay wagon. But in addition to that, whatever you say to them, they're going to be happy in response. So the little kids are going to laugh and smile and wave back. If we're singing Joy to the World, they join with us. What a joy it is. What a great thing to have favor with all the people. We don't want to come across this community as a bunch of old fuddy-duddies that don't know how to have a good time. We know how to have a good time. We know the way to have peace and security, having the right kinds of friends. And when problems come, as they do, we know how to deal with it. Kim Sharippa usually sits over there next to where Gary is right now. This lady drives all the way from Granger, 30 miles one way. Why'd she come here? There's churches closer to her. Because, you see, she knows the life. She knows the way. In Luke 8, verse 29, and in Mark 5, there was a story about a man that was mentally ill. Mental illness is a common malady in our culture. This man was at a place called Gadarenes. The Bible says, and I'm quoting now, he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, but he broke the chains and was driven into the woods. Night and day he was in the mountains and tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This is extreme illness. You can argue about the cause, but folks, there are like people like that today. There are people who are driven that badly because they have chosen the wrong way. And if you're like me, you got family members who are in that situation. But after he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, the Bible says, people came to see him because he was sitting clothed and in his right mind. And then it's interesting what happens next, because Jesus is getting ready to go. And when Jesus gets ready to go, this guy who had been mentally ill said, hey, I want to go with you. Now, there's a lot of reasons why he wanted to do that. One reason he wanted to do that is that he had a stigma. He'd been mentally ill. He'd been crazy. And people were afraid of him. And Jesus said, no, you go and tell the people you know what great things God has given and has done for you. And the Bible says when he departed, he began to publish in the Decapolis, that's the 10 cities around him. That's like South Bend, Mishawaka, Elkhart, Goshen, Niles, Dowagiac, etc. In the 10 cities that were close to him. He went to every one of those cities and told what great things Jesus had done for him. How the way, the life, the truth had changed his whole situation. And when Jesus came back to that area, they had driven him off before, but they wanted to hear more about the way, about the life. Jesus avoids the spiritual corruption that brings bad things to us and offers us alternatives. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, the word gospel means good news. Good news about what? We say that. We say that because you can have the way, the truth, and the life. It's used as a noun. It means the good tidings of the kingdom of God. That there is salvation through Christ Jesus. See, the way and the truth and the life is not just about our existence here. Thanks be to God. This is the worst I'm ever going to have to experience. Every time I talk to my brother who is mentally at home for short periods of time, they've got him on morphine, they've got him on every kind of drug that can make him comfortable, and he's out of his head a lot. But every time I talk to him, that discussion comes up. Yeah, Bill, I know you're in pain, you're suffering. But it's going to be over. The gospel, the good news is, it doesn't go on forever and ever. There's good tidings about the kingdom of God. So Christ gives us a way to live our lives. Christ gives us the facts about how to be successful in life. Christ gives us a guide of how to deal with the negatives in life. All of the negatives. Even the ones we think are insurmountable. And Christ gives you eternal life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you're here today and if you're not following the way, the truth, and the life, that's something you can do something about. You can obey the commands of God. You can be baptized into Christ to begin that walk, to have the Spirit's help. And if you're here and you're just having a bad time, sometimes holidays can do that to us. We'd consider it a real privilege to pray with you that things will get better. That the way, the truth, and life will become more a part of everything that you do and everything you are. And so if in any way you're subject to that invitation, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing to encourage you. Won't you please come?